Our speaker this morning is our brother David, and we all know him, and so he doesn't need an introduction per se, but he does need your prayers. So I do ask that you lift up your silent prayers and give him your smiles to our brother David this morning.
Thank you, Bob. Well, this morning I wanted to talk about something that we all know a little about, but I was wondering how our thoughts might differ on the subject. We all believe that there is a heaven. We believe it's the dwelling place of the Lord, and that with the Lord, all things are good. But there's also what we believe is the opposite. And that is called different things, depending on where you read it, whether it's Greek or Hebrew or whoever it is that's speaking about it. Hell is, in the Greek, called Hades. And it refers to a place that is hidden, a place that is unknown. And I think that pretty much explains how some of us feel about it. It's unknown. It's never been seen. And is it spiritual? Is it physical? What kind of a place is it? Well, we know it's a place. There's also another word that I'm not even going to try to pronounce. It calls it a place of torment. And when we think of torment, we think, well, I've got plenty of that right here. So maybe I'm living kind of with one foot already there. And that could be true because we all get influenced by the things of the world. And the prince of the world is one that would just assume that we would follow after him and believe his thoughts. And the way that he likes us to believe is that, oh, it's no big problem. Because we're all the children of God, so he wouldn't do anything too drastic to us. He'd take care of us. He always has, always will. So why fear the future? Why fear the life that we have after this one? And that's an easy step to take and to say, well, it doesn't really matter. As long as I'm happy, I'll go anywhere I want, do what I want. Maybe I'll get in a little bit of trouble, but I can take a little scolding and go on. But then we have these people that have created books that we read and quotes from prophets, quotes from the time that Christ visited us and told us how to live. And when we read those things, well, that's kind of troubling. I'm not sure that I want to believe that because that tells me that I have to put out an effort to follow after the Son of God who has pretty tough rules. So I'm going to work with this a little bit this morning. I'm going to bounce around through these quotes and these scriptures and see what I can come up with to kind of reveal to us what the unseen world is. What is that unknown that we tend to put off because we don't want to face facts that it's too much of a doomsday? And it says that in the time that we live, we can do this, we can do that. We might get beat with a few stripes, but that's okay. We can go on, do whatever we want and be happy. I'm going to read first out of Luke chapter 16. I'm going to start with verse 20 and probably read through 21. Luke 16, 20. So these are the words of Christ. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was, I'm about to blow away. I better tie it down. I'll really get lost if I don't have my notes. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham being afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his fingers in water and cool thy tongue, for I am tormented in the flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all that, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren that be not, that he not testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So here we have this rich man, and he says, send Lazarus over here to speak to my brothers that are still alive, because I don't want them to have to come and live in the torment that I live in. And this was the Lord's answer. He says, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, The one rose from the dead. Well, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? Because once you get put into that place of torment, then there's a big gulf and you can't get out. So you're stuck. All firemen know that that's to be avoided. You don't want to go there. You don't want to be caught in a situation where you can't do anything about it anymore. And so we live a life of probationary time when we can avoid getting ourselves trapped and tormented. And we have mercy on those that are. So do you ever think about that? Do you ever think that, well, when my time comes, I can repent then. I can put out the fire. But can we? Or are we in trouble? We're trapped. Well, I tell you, there's somebody that wants you to think that way until you are trapped. And he does it in such a flattering way that it's real easy to let yourself get trapped. I want to go on down to the book of Jude. That's right before Revelations. It's a whole 2 pages long. But it has some interesting reading. And I'm not going to read it all to you, so. I'm going to read verses 6 through 10. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to the fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, this not being against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Well, this kind of lets us in on another story. When it starts out there, it says the angels left their own habitation. Why'd they do that? If you were an angel and you were living in heaven, wouldn't you want to kind of stay there? I mean, things are pretty good, I would think. But what happened? Is they got to thinking they were a little more powerful than the one that created heaven. So they wanted to take over. It didn't work out too good for them. Let's go first. Like I said, I'm going to jump around. I'm going to go to Revelations 12, since we're back there anyway. And read 9 through 12 on Revelations 12. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And what it's speaking of here was he deceived Eve in the Garden of Eden. That's how he got a good start. Because then Eve told Adam, it's okay. We can eat of the forbidden fruit. And so Adam did. And then it all began to take form, the plan of God. And the things that he was going to do with man and the responsibilities that man would have to God came forth in this little set to with Satan. And he only had to change one word, because Adam and Eve were told that they would die if they ate of that forbidden fruit. And Satan said, you will not die, but you will become as God. See how easy it was for him? From the very get-go, he had a plan, just like God had a plan. And he wants to fool just as many of us as he can. Now I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 11. I want to read 21 through 24, 11th chapter of Matthew. These here again are the words of Christ. He says, Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted into heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Here we have whole cities. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because the Lord couldn't find anybody that was doing the right, proper things. They were full of fornication and deceiving themselves, saying there was no God, there was no wrong, they could do whatever they wanted. Whole cities. condemned. And they had received blessings before. And that's why the Lord said it would have been better if you had been as Sodom and Gomorrah, because it's going to be worse for Capernaum, the ones that received blessings and still denied it. He tells us the same thing. If once you have heard the truth and you deny it and turn away from it, it would have been better if you never heard it in the first place. So what does that tell me about this place called hell? Are there multiple glories in hell? Or is it just multiple stages that we go through? Because when we look back, we say, man, I could have, just like the rich man, I could have done better than I did. I know Lazarus, he had a hard time. I didn't have it too hard, but boy, look where I'm at now. Now I'm buried in this, and I can't get away from it. That's a big difference than how we are today. We're still alive. We're still functioning. We got freedom of choice. How do I want to do? Do I want to be trapped? Or maybe I should take some precautionary measures. Maybe I should put on some protective clothing. Any idea what that is? The armor of God? Scripture talks about it, don't it? The helmet of salvation. Maybe I ought to pay attention, maybe put on some protective gear. I'm going to go to chapter 8 of Matthew. And there, I want to read 11 and 12. If ye, then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So if I see Lazarus and I see that he's hurting and he's in trouble and he could use a helping hand, maybe I'll see what I can do to help him. Was it? Still fits.
It does fit.
So if I do that, then that's actually putting on that suit of armor. And when we put on that suit of armor, it protects us. And if we keep it on, it'll protect us for as long as we exist in the flesh and the blood. I want to go to Matthew 25. Read a little bit there. Going to read 28 through 30 to start out. we're still quoting from Christ here. It says, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. So we want to use the talent that we have. And what might that talent be? Money? No, not necessarily. That talent can be understanding, knowledge, wisdom. And if we use it, we can benefit from it. And to that will be added more of how we should interpret the words of the Lord as they were quoted. And help us to live. I want to read verse 41 of the same chapter. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Those on the left hand of God. In other words, the ones that aren't quite up to par, the ones that aren't doing what they were supposed to, didn't use their talents. Verse 46 says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Life eternal in a good place. Just like the angels had it before they followed after Satan and fell. They were in a good place. That's where we'd like to be, I'm sure. So we want to use what we have to get there. I'm going to go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. An example. Is that the example of living ungodly is to follow those angels into a lake of fire and brimstone, torment. Can that be real? Would God be angry enough to put us there in a place like that forever? What if I told you there were worse places to be? And that would be to influence others to do what is ungodly. Then we're not responsible just for ourselves, but we're also the children of Satan. And we're doing things that Satan himself would do. What would be the torment of your mind when you think about that? When you think about the rich man, and if he had done that, then he not only has the torment of his own ungodly ways, but of others. Others he was responsible for deceiving. So he's no better than Satan himself. And he's not going to get Lazarus to come and give him some water and to cool him off. It's just not going to happen. Can God get that mad? I don't want to test him. I really don't. I think he can do whatever he wants, and if he sees that there's nothing in you that's worth saving, where's the talent? What price did you pay for eternal life? I'm going to switch books now. I told you I was going to bounce around a little bit. And I am going to, I'm almost going to read what we read in Sunday school this morning. I'm going to go to page 137. This is 2 Nephi. I'm going to read verses 34 to 37. It says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" You know, I read that and I always thought that son of the morning sounded like a pretty good name. And that was his name when he was a good angel. But after he was fallen, then they called him Lucifer or Satan or the devil, or they've got, there's probably 20 names. The liar, the deceiver, the opposition. But anyway, he says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." So we see here a reason why Satan and all his followers were cast down into the earth. Another name for him is Prince of the Earth. That's just exactly what he is. He's the prince. He didn't quite get as high as he thought he was going to, because he was going to make himself God. That didn't work. The Lord told the Archangel Michael, he says, time for this guy to go. Too many things he stands against. So we're just going to put him on earth and let him do his work there for a little bit. And then we're going to take care of business. Going to go to page 160. Read a little bit there. Verse 99 on page 160, it's the second book of Nephi, chapter 12. It's the last verse, almost. It says, "And Satan shall have power over the hearts of the children of men no more for a long time." You know why? Because it's going to come to an end. For a thousand years, Satan's going to get locked up. And there again, you're going to have an angel that's going to come and put him in the pit, lock him up for a thousand years. He says, you're not going to have any power over the hearts of men for a thousand years. And then again, he'll be released for a short time. Wouldn't the world be a wonderful place if Satan wasn't here? If he didn't have power over our hearts, we wouldn't have temptations. We wouldn't have those flaxen cords wrapping around us till he bind us to where we can't move. I think that world would be a lot easier to live in and to learn in. But you know, you're still going to have a good heart. You're going to have to be willing to live in peace and not to rebel. I'm going to go back to Revelations, I think, or chapter 21 of Revelations. Still bouncing. Chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we not only have the mortal death, but then after the judgment, we have a second death, which is worse than the first. None of that sounds too good, does it? Well, it won't sound so bad if we're doing what we're supposed to. If we're following after the sacrifice that God gave us, which was the sacrifice of His Son in flesh and blood. I'm going to go back to Luke 24, read verse 46. Chapter 24 of Luke, verse 46. And this is quoting the Lord again. It says, "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem, and ye be endued with power from on high." That power would be the Holy Ghost. So it doesn't look so bleak after all, does it? There was an atonement made through Christ. And He said, "Do as I say. Do as I do. I'm an example. I'm going to show you the way that you should live. Don't vary from it. Don't add to it. Just do it the way I show you." Sounds fairly simple. Well, Satan's still out there. So he's still trying to tempt us, putting stumbling blocks in the way. And he's not letting up. He's making it harder and harder, because he's getting desperate, because he knows he's out of time. So we need to recognize that atonement that Christ made for us and live by it and believe in it. My final one is in Colossians. First chapter, I'm going to start with verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and of Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. That covers quite a distance. You know, those angels came out of heaven because the Lord had preeminence in heaven. He has the same thing in earth. Because he created it, he put everything in it that is, including us. And he has the say of whether or not we are part of his inheritance. And so he's trying to make it simple for us and tell us that if you do what's right, that sacrifice, which is the contrite heart and the broken heart and contrite spirit, which means that we're going to follow after the Lord. That's what it takes to stay in the presence of the Lord and not to be put into torment, whether it's physical, whether it's mental, whether it's spiritual. We don't want to go there. We want to stay in his presence. And we can do that through the atonement if we repent, because we all have need of repentance. So that's important, to repent, to live our lives the best we know how. And I'm not going to say, yes, it's a physical pain, because I don't know that for sure. But I know that the Lord told us that it's torment. It's torment forever. And nobody is going to be able to ease that torment for you. It's up to us to do it now, to put on that protective clothing. Be a good steward to the Lord. Thank you.